There's nothing like a good scandal to rouse Congress into spending money and causing reform. The latest example is the Veterans Affairs Department. Blame for the scheduling problems and lying about it scattered everywhere. Congress singled out the senior executive service, though, giving the VA secretary summary dismissal authority. Now, a House bill would double the probation period for new SES managers and take back salary in an SESer when they're demoted. Joining me for analysis of these developments in this week's Legal Loop, Sherry Cannon, partner at Tully Rinke. Sherry, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so you've looked at these. Give us a review of what is going on now, what has happened and what's being contemplated for the SES.
Well, there's two different things going on. The Congress of the United States has passed, in the wake of the VA scandal, SES provisions that apply only to the Veterans Administration. And now, given that they were able to do that, they have moved on to make some other attempts, and there are bills now pressing that would apply to all of the senior executive service with respect to probationary periods, broaden disciplinary actions, shorten the notice provisions, and do putting people on unpaid leave, et cetera, that would apply across the government, not just to the VA. So the trend, which is rather alarming, is to put an enormous amount of pressure on those people who have worked their careers to become senior executives and hold them accountable, which I, for all kinds of things, and I have no problem with people being held accountable, but some of the provisions are extremely onerous. And, in fact, the VA provisions, I am not alone in feeling that the VA law as passed will be challenged on constitutional grounds.
Yeah, tell us more about that. First of all, you do expect a challenge. Is there something formal building that you know of?
No, the only way this can be challenged is if the VA secretary and his attorneys decide to take an action against a senior executive in the VA and use this provision. The bill that ultimately was signed by the president is an addition to the Title V authorities that they already have to take action against people in the senior executive service. And my understanding is some of the actions they're taking now as to certain of the individuals who are involved in these scandals are proceeding under the old process. So if they move to take any action to remove or downgrade a person back into the general schedule under this provision, there's some constitutional issues, and there's several that I've noted and that others have noted that practice in this area of law. The first is federal employees, for better or worse, have a constitutional right to what's called pre-deprivation due process, meaning before you take a property interest in their jobs and their livelihoods and their pay, you have to give them an opportunity to respond to the charges against them. This bill takes that away and says that the VA secretary can summarily decide to remove an individual from the senior executive service or the federal service without that opportunity for notice and to be heard. Then the bill goes on to allow a limited appeal to the Merit Systems Protection Board, and by limited I mean the appeal is limited in time and it's limited as to how far in the board process one can go. So if someone is removed under these new provisions and they do take an appeal to the Merit Systems Protection Board, the board needs to act. They need to only have 7 days to do so, which under normal circumstances for other SES and federal employees that have board rights, it's 30 days. So they move to go to the board. They only get a hearing or some sort of process before a administrative judge. And in the normal course of things, an administrative judge can be appealed both by the VA if they were to lose. The agency can appeal an administrative judge's finding, as can the individual, to the full board. The statute takes away the appeal rights both of the individual employee as well as the VA.
But just to clarify, so that they can't appeal what the Merit Systems Protection Board says?
They cannot appeal what the administrative judge finds.
Okay.
Okay, and under normal circumstances, you do have several rights of further appeal, including to the full board, which is a three-judge panel, as well as to the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals here in Washington. So that has all been taken away.
So first window and you're done.
Yeah.
In other words,
one shot and you're out. And what makes it even more difficult, and I think will also be found to be unconstitutional, is there is a provision in the bill that was passed and that was signed that says if the judge, for whatever reason, does not make a decision within 21 days of having received the appeal, then the the employee is out of luck. Basically, it says then the decision of the Secretary of the Veterans Administration becomes final. And what that does is takes away any kind of due process whatsoever. The person didn't have pre-deprivation due process and didn't get the benefit of a decision by a judge or a review by a judge. So I find that extremely troubling, and I think that could be challenged. There's other parts of the bill, the statute that was passed, that are troubling and raise other issues that are not constitutional but do warrant a great deal of concern.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, by the way, we're speaking with Sherry Cannon. She's a partner at Tully Rinke. And one of the questions I had regarding the issues that are not constitutionally related is what about the idea of eroding the difference between civil service and political appointees?
And that's where I was going. There's quite a bit in this bill that's troubling that'll, I think, affect recruitment, retention of senior executives at VA, and possibly if this catches fire across the government. And in this bill, typically senior executives across the government are not subject to being reassigned, removed, demoted, or have any personnel action, even reassigned involuntarily, okay, during the 120-day period after the appointment of a new head of an agency, like in the case the head of the new VA, or if they get a new political boss. Often senior executives work for presidentially appointed, Senate-confirmed individuals who are not the head of the agency. So current law, current statute, protects senior executives from having anything arbitrary happen to them during that 120-day period. This bill takes it away, and it takes it away twice for some reason. First, it says that this particular bill from 120 days after the president signed it, that provision of law that says you can't take an action, it vitiates it. It says that so the new VA secretary now, within 120 days, can take an action to take any kind of personnel action against senior executives without respect to this law. But even more troubling is further down in the bill, they take it away entirely from the VA, meaning that provision doesn't apply to the VA anymore. And that was an ad at conference. The latter was an ad at the conference. It did not appear in either of the House or Senate versions of this bill prior to its passage and signing by the president. So that creates a serious future problems at the VA, because that means whether they would ever do it or not, a future secretary could, if they chose, summarily, subject only to this limited appeal to the Merit Systems Protection Board administrative judge, simply say, I don't want any of the current senior executives in the VA to remain in the VA. I want them all terminated, reassigned, demoted, et cetera.
And that's kind of an interesting development, besides the oddness of it and singling out one agency for, you know, not protecting them the same protections that everyone else gets across government, but also because of the mission of the VA is probably the least political, and where there might be the instinct to change out those senior executives, even though you're not allowed to do it, it would seem to be that instinct would have the least application in VA.
I would think so. There's far more, losing the word political, there's far more agencies in the federal government that have more political nature, where the jobs are of more of a political nature. You're entirely correct. The VA is not one of them. I think that this bill is incredibly short-sighted, because it applies to all parties. It doesn't matter. It's with respect to, even if the administration changes from Democrat to Democrat or Republican to Republican, the law as it stands for the rest of the government protects people from any kind of arbitrary changes during that 120-day period. So it hurts both parties equally. It hurts senior executives at VA. And I would argue that you're going to have a hard time getting GS-15s at VA to want to be senior executives, and you're going to have a hard time recruiting from outside VA and people from the private sector who may have a great deal to offer the VA. They may or may not want to come in and be subject to this kind of the whims of the political new political infrastructure, whatever it might be.
Now, at the VA facilities, the big hospitals, the directors of those are tend to be SES, correct?
Yes, they are.
And
some of the smaller ones.
Yeah, because some of the issues that VA has had medically have happened at those large centers. There's some medical issues or bad surgery or whatever the case might be. But this would amplify the exposure of the top person at that hospital for everything that happens there.
Yes, and hopefully you want the top person at any hospital anywhere or in the government to be accountable for what happens in their facility. But oftentimes when you have actions by people several layers beneath them in the command structure, they may not even be aware that certain things are going on. Now, that may or may not be what happened in Phoenix and some of these other places. I think there's enough evidence or indicia that these senior executives did, in fact, know what was going on and were driving what was going on. But in the vast majority of issues, you may have a senior executive who's doing a good job, who's department is functioning well, and have some misconduct going on way below them that they're held accountable for, and under this statute, they would get the summary process at the board and they'd be done. So, yes, it's good to hold people accountable, and we should, but there are other ways of doing it, and using the process that exists is one way of doing it.
All right. Well, we'll have to see if anyone does challenge this, and we'll follow that case when it happens. Sherry Cannon is a partner at Tully Rinke. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, well, my pleasure. Thank you.